This is something new that we're doing, or that I'm doing. This is, I'm calling this the Bearer of Weird News. It's a little news breakdown that I'm trying to put up every so often when I find the time to put one together. You can listen to this. This is the audio version, but if you'd like the picture accompaniment, or just to see my face for whatever reason, then you can go on YouTube and check them out on YouTube. There's a couple of them up there. All right. Enjoy. And if you like it, pass it on to someone else and let somebody know. Now, give the video a thumbs up or whatever it is that you feel like doing. It's your day. I'm not going to tell you how to spend it. But thanks for listening. Hello there. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Matt, and I will once again be the bearer of weird news. Let's get into it. Watch out, millennials. It's not just Gen Xers and boomers that are out for get ya. It's also millennials who lack self-awareness. On that note, enter John Winning Jr., CEO of a company that I had previously never heard of, Winning Appliances. He said in a cover interview of the latest issue of Nepotism magazine, people are expecting more than what they put in, and that great workers are few and far between, which he unashamedly and unironically said in the same interview as he said this. He said that he is an unconventional leader, because I don't know what normal management is. I was thrown at the deep end, because the business was just growing. I went from being a kid who had done truck deliveries and a few sales on the shop floor into suddenly running an e-commerce website when I knew nothing about technology, management, or even retail. I mean, other than the fact that it's in my blood, which, guys, that is the worst answer that I've ever heard to the what is your greatest weakness question. I know, it can be a bit of a stumper, but you really do have to work that one out in advance. Now, Winning Jr. is only 35, which puts him right in the cusp of actually being a millennial himself, because the Pew Research Center has said that the millennial generation is those that were born between 1981 and 1996. I know, it's a surprise for a lot of people, because we tend to want to attack the youngest people, keep continuously calling them millennials, but technically millennials were born towards the millennium. That's usually how we define this sort of thing. But anyway, like, to be fair to him, how can one really know oneself when one has just been handed everything? A sweet job at a company that their father owns, even their name, because he is now the third generation of Winning to be named John. That must be very confusing at family functions. This is some sort of like generational babushka dog situation where you just become an imitation of your parents, or well, at least of the parent who gave you their business and their shitty opinions on the next generation of people who will be working under you. But to be fair to him again, I mean, I keep attacking, but look, let's be fair. To be fair to him, he isn't entirely wrong, because we, as a generation, have just been handed everything. A failing economy, crippling debt, an unstable job market, a dying planet. Like, what else could we possibly want? Plus, we no longer have to worry about these big ticket stresses like owning a house or what will become of our children, because let's be honest, we all know that they're going to end up with the exact same opportunities, either drowning in a boiling ocean or becoming a crony of the CEO of Bullet Town, who inherited Bullet Town from his father, John Bullet Sr. State of emergency news now. Over to Chile. Chile has been in a state of emergency recently when protests turned to riots and fires after almost a week of demonstrations over fare hikes for public transport. So the conflict began with high school and college students on social media just urging each other to hop the subway turnstiles in order to protest authorities after the proposed fare hikes of around 30 Chilean pesos, which works out to be about 4 cents American. Now this may seem like a trivial amount, but when your country is on the brink of an economic collapse, what are you going to do? Even Neolithic man had continuous access to wheels. And are we not better than Neolithic man? Like, if not, what has all this been for? All this society? We might as well give up all human endeavor and give over to a slow death at the hands of climate change. Ironically, push back now due to our giving up of the wheel. As Chileans voice their discontent, Chile's then Minister for the Economy, Juan Andreas Fontaine, suggested that commuters simply wake up earlier to avoid higher fares during peak hours, suggesting maybe that they commute before 7 a.m. and after 8:45 p.m., meaning that it would take a mere 15 hours of their day travelling to and from work. Well, it's no wonder that the students are up to no good. They've got no supervision. Who's going to be home to look after these kids? Who's going to guide these children from a life of being a chorus member in an all Latin American cast of Les Miserables? And without proper supervision, this movement quickly grew. And then the government, like any good government, met with unruly kids who are doing something that they don't understand, they met it with force, attempting to put an end to it. You know, like time travel, or being reincarnated without permission in China, or anonymous blogs with over 3,000 daily visitors, or being emo in Russia, or maybe chewing gum in Singapore, or mullets in Iran, you know, very reasonable things to be worried about. I mean, and who can blame them, really, after all? The preferred haircut of known rabble-rouser and cultural maverick Ziggy Stardust is the mullet. The children may grow up to be androgynous, bisexual ambassadors for an alien race. Then what will the neighbours say? It does, however, occur to me that this particular method of protest would, unintentionally, make the protest seem exponentially larger than it actually is, as students who are just regular fare evading were suddenly enlisted as young radicals swept up in a national scandal they hadn't studied for. Or perhaps their dog had eaten their train ticket. I don't know. Students should be careful though, lest authorities confuse their standard behaviours as other student-led protests, such as sleeping in late to protest the high cost of electricity by not setting an alarm, having 2-minute noodles for most of your meals to protest the high cost of groceries, and sneaking snacks into the cinema to protest the high cost of cinema snacks. President Sebastián Piñera has since reversed the subway fare increase that sparked the unrest, eliminated a hike in electricity prices, boosted minimum wages and pension benefits, raised taxes on the wealthy, and reshuffled his cabinet. A move which, while desperately necessary for the people, will not see him in good stakes when world leaders meet up again. I mean, Scott Morrison is willing to destroy an entire natural wonder, drown all island nations, all in service of ignoring the will of the people. Speaking of Scott Morrison, Australian PM and man seen here trying to Jedi mind trick the Australian public, how good is Scott Morrison? Has revealed himself to be the living peak boomer lifestyle as he gave a speech in Queensland displaying his shock that Australian citizens are boycotting businesses that do business with coal companies.
Of radical activism is on the march, refusing to provide banking, insurance.
Oh no! Morrison claimed that progressives wanted to tell Australians what you can say, what you can think, and then tax you for the privilege of all these instructions. Going on to say that if they wanted to do that, then they should have gone into politics, like I did. And you know what? He's right. Who do they think they are, telling ordinary Australians which businesses they can or cannot support based on such trivial things as ethics or fear of destroying the planet? That's loser talk. The four big banks didn't get to be the four big banks by acting ethically. And even they refused to do business with the Adani coal mine. So these guys have so much untapped unethical potential. Morrison bloviated, politicians have a responsibility to defend our democracy, not degrade it. But I must say, I don't think that he is protecting it enough, if I'm honest. We need to protect it like we protect museum exhibits, taking it out of the reach of the public, but keep it on display for people to visit, but never touch. It's just a reminder of a dead past. Clearly, we can't be trusted with our own democracy. We're a dog chasing a car, Well, now we've got the car. What are we going to do with it? We don't know. Keep up the good work, Prime Minister. It's obvious to me, at least, that we don't know what to do with our democracy. After all, we used it to vote in you. Crime news now, and for this we head to Adelaide, where we check in on the job which has the biggest ratio of danger to unappreciation from the public, the convenience store. Although, if more criminals were like this one, we wouldn't have to worry about these workers, and then we could continue treating them like the human garbage that we think they are while we drunkenly sway about in their store and attempt to keep down more liquid than the human bladder can reasonably contain while shoving down late-night sausage rolls. This attempted theft happened at the King William Street convenience store just before 5 a.m, the hour best known for reasonable human decisions, as the thief brandished a pair of scissors and demanded cigarettes. Now, the quick-thinking clerk, working his mind magic on the thief, told him that his boss was out back, which the thief rightly didn't believe, because hey, it's 5 in the morning and he's a young person and he knows an understaffed store when he sees one. So much like the cigarettes that he was demanding, he wasn't buying it. The staff member told him that if he waited outside, that he would bring him old, expired cigarettes. At which point, the guy said yes, went outside, and so the clerk called the police, who arrived surprisingly quickly, and then arrested the miscreant. Now, the best bit of all this is that cigarettes don't actually expire. They might go stale if the package is left open, and at which point, they'll actually be worse for you, because hey, why not? Cigarettes, they're the gift that just keeps giving. Cancer. They just keep giving cancer. Now, to check it on, I told you so news. Bust out your shiny Charizards, dust off your Beanie Babies and get on eBay. The most expensive Pokemon card ever has been sold for a cool $285,831, and that's Australian dollars. Now, the prevailing myth when I was growing up was that Pokemon cards would one day pay for our retirements, because even though we knew nothing about economic forces, we somehow collectively knew that the job market wouldn't sustain us into retirement, and like pop culture doomsday preppers, we started to collect anything and everything, hoping that one day it might net us a tasty retirement. Let's be honest, you're only getting a chunk of this change if you hold a one-off card called Pikachu Illustrator. It was a promotional card given out to the winners of a comic contest that was held in Japan in 1997 to 1998. Now, while there are only 39 cards actually awarded, it is believed that there are only 10 left today, and for some reason, people want to spend money on them. Though undoubtedly the holders of these cards will slowly start to climb out of their pillow bunkers and show their faces to the rarely seen sun, as one by one they bring their own valuable cards to the market, incrementally dropping the value of each card as they break the perceived rarity, and then forcing them to spend all their earnings that they get on a newfound fortune on the next hot trend, which will definitely, definitely pay off in 20 years' time. Trust me, just trust me. Maybe you missed out on the Pokemon craze. Maybe you were too old, maybe you weren't into Pokemon, I don't know. Maybe you missed your big chance to make money from filling your house with junk? I don't think so. Not if you're quick. Because you're in luck. It's a great time to become a coin collector, as yet another historic event preemptively set in coin has swept past without actually happening. Followers of such minted events would remember the Trump-Kim coin for the cancelled and then reinstated peace talks, which, for a man of such incredible lack of foresight, surprisingly didn't have the date minted on them, and I checked, you can still buy them on the White House shop if you're really keen. I don't think that they're going to collect in value, but you never know. But in this great short-sighted tradition, the UK has minted a series of coins to celebrate Brexit finally happening. Except, of course, it hasn't. Like, it was supposed to happen on October 31st. And whoops, predictably, Boris Johnson has failed to deliver the most complicated trade deal in recent history in a really small window, despite his identification with the most business-like Avenger, the Hulk. And the deadline has now been pushed back to January 3rd. Look, Presumably, there will be a new coin minted from the old coins that are being melted down. As a spokesman for the Treasury said, the mint would still produce a coin to mark the UK's departure from the EU, whenever that took place. Which is really what they should be writing on top of the coin. Whenever it took place. In fact, the coin should just actually list every possible date that Brexit was supposed to happen, but got delayed, so that people can remember what a shit show it really has been, and then they can think twice about how they use their votes in future. But each of the old dates, like, that has just a line through it. So it'd be like, March 29th, October 31st, January 3rd, to be decided whenever it ends up happening. However, this, to me, seems like a wasted opportunity, because all this metal, it could be good, put to a really good use. After all, what purpose will money serve in the post-Brexit hellscape of the climate change apocalypse? I have seen the misunderstood Kevin Costner masterpiece, Waterworld. A film not given credit for being the first film to try to warn us of the dangers of the post-climate change world. Those dangers mostly being that we have to adopt Kevin Costner as our one true saviour, and that we will be forced to be nice to our arsehole neighbours who bought a boat, or else we face a watery demise. Which might actually be preferable to listening to Gary bang on about how you all laughed at him when he bought a boat, but who's laughing now as he flips through the Pit My Ride style barbecue that he installed under the seats, which seemed absurd at first, but now you must have reluctantly admit will actually be useful in the event of catching some fish, because you like a bit of sushi from time to time, but you just need something warm to keep you going. The 50 pence coin is actually made out of a material called copper nickel, which finds most of its use in shipbuilding and repair. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. Shipbuilding and repair. Copper nickel alloy used in seawater cooling, bilge and ballast, sanitary and firefighting, inert gas, hydraulic and pneumatic chiller systems. These are all things that are going to be extremely useful in the post-drowned apocalyptic UK. So maybe they should put that metal to a better use. They're also used in desalination plants. So you and Gazza can ride the open ocean, desalinating just enough water to allow Gazza to keep banging on about how this was a really good purchase until you push him overboard and roam the open seas alone. It's the latest news from the Abusive Power Desk. Here is Matt. Thanks, Matt. Queensland. Queensland man has been fined $173 by police for drinking 600ml plastic bottle behind the wheel of his car. Brock Harris claims to have finished a 12-hour day at work when he got into his car, drove home, and found that his air conditioning was not working. He says, I stopped and I brought a water bottle as I was pulling into my street. I was pulled over by the police and told it was illegal to drink anything while driving. That's what he said to ABC Radio Brisbane's Rebecca Livingston. And look, it's hard to take this position, but really, as an Australian citizen, he should remember Australia's most famous road safety act.
If you drink, then drive. You're a bloody idiot.
Well, it is very heavily inferred that it is a strict rule about alcohol, but nowhere does it say that it does not cover other liquids. Imagine the chaos if we restricted this rule purely to alcohol. Beakers of acid, antifreeze, bleach, sparkling water. None of these things should be consumed, and definitely not behind the wheel. And look, really, if we draw this out to its logical conclusion, there should be no liquids at all behind the wheel, so drivers will be dehydrated, like jerky. All liquids are dangers. No sweating could blind the driver, no runny noses, the tissues are a danger, no needing to pee, because that is a huge distraction. So sorry, champ, no liquids behind the wheel. Speaking of water, let's go to Norway now for our final story. It is the water crisis news. As the pandemic impending climate apocalypse creeps towards us and the impetus for saving the future gets increasingly shifted from the companies that are actually doing the destroying of the Earth to the citizens who feel increasingly guilty about destroying the Earth, despite the fact that our actions in the grand scheme of things are so minuscule that we may as well be voting green. That's how little change they will affect. An Oslo municipality's water and sewage administration has offered a useful tip to reduce water wastage. It says, it's okay to pee in the shower. Implying that we were waiting for permission to do this. Like, this of course sparked the fakest outrage since asking a teenager if they know how all these porn websites got in the internet history.
I have no idea how they got there.
According to Statistics Norway, each person in the country uses an average of 182 litres of water daily, which puts them way out in front of the average Australian, with our average daily water consumption ballooning to the reprehensible 340 litres per person on average. Because Mabex is our biggest export culturally, and given that we have 100% committed to killing the barrier reef, we're going to need some sort of tourist attraction to bring people in the future, and thus we have committed to our newest tourist attraction, the post-apocalyptic themed park, Mad Max World. 200,000 men enter, 100,000 men leave. Now, it was municipality section leader Fraud Hunt, I'm probably saying that wrong, who made the suggestion when asked about like ways to possibly save what he said. We could, for example, pee in the shower, putting the we in Norwegian. He then went on to list all of his water-based complaints from his old housemates that he used to live with. He said we could brush our teeth in the shower, we could turn off water faucets while brushing teeth, scraping food wastage from plates and cutlery before using the dishwasher, only using the dishwasher when it's full, using economic dishwasher and washing machines, and refraining from watering the lawns, and finishing off with a pointed, "Do you hear me, Bjorn? Huh? Do you?" Thanks for hanging around until the end. I hope you enjoyed this one. I think it's a little bit shorter than some of the other ones. If you have enjoyed it, do all the things, tell someone, share it with someone. I quite enjoy making these things, and it's just nice to see if people are getting on board. Alright, see you next time.